A few months ago, Ashley and I got out a tape measure and measured each and every pew in the sanctuary. We took the number that we got and we divided the linear inches based on a comfortable seat size standard and calculated how many people our pews can actually hold. Now, for years, I have known a number in my head of the number of people we can hold on Christmas Eve and Easter. You know, the butt-to-butt-to-butt-to-butt-to-butt number? It's a very happy, comfortable time on Christmas and Easter. That number's 350 if you include the full balcony. But Jesus' birth and resurrection are kind of special circumstances. On a typical Sunday, I think we all need a little bit of room. And let's be honest, the balcony is more of a roaming toddler babes in arms section. It's not as much of an inviting space to feel a part of the worshiping community, especially if you're brand new. Oh, I'm sorry, you can go upstairs is not something we want anyone to hear. On a typical Sunday, we need a little bit more room. And as we looked at how many seats we have, and we considered this strong wisdom that after 80% capacity, it feels like there's no room, we came to a realization that had been in the back of my mind for a couple years now. We need two services. I had been in denial of this fact for some time. In fact, it first came up at a church council meeting 2 years ago. And in a conversation of like, oh, we don't want to deal with this, we were like, let's just ask some regulars to sit in the balcony. That plan worked for like a week. And then everyone was like, I don't want to sit up here. And here we are. Over the last 6 years, this congregation has grown by 125%. 30% in just the last 3 years. Our average worship attendance heading into the summer was 186. And so we are returning to a worship schedule that Highlands United Methodist Church hasn't used in more than a generation. More than one worship service on a Sunday. I mean, this is exciting. This is remarkable. It's also different and mildly intimidating. I mean, at the most basic level, we will do what we do twice. The same hymns, the same choir pieces, the same special music. When I remember that Peter's prepared a piece and don't skip over it accidentally in the bulletin. I'm totally sorry about that, dude. Okay. Right? All the same things. The same Sunday school. We'll just do everything twice. But as our spreadsheets and sign-up geniuses have reminded the staff as we prepare for this moment of responding to the blessing of a home where all belong, none of this happens without your help. I mean, your help is what brought us to this point. There are people all around us every Sunday making this home where all belong happen. Every single month, over the course of 4 Sundays, there is a team of more than 24 people who serve as greeters and ushers to welcome people into the space and make sure they have what they need. Now we're going to need 48 people to meet the very bare minimum of being welcoming. Every month, we have needed 28 people to care for our 4 different classrooms of children who are learning about God's love for them, who are learning about their ability to make the world a better place. It's an amazing thing that happens in that room where our children are learning and growing. And now instead of 28 people every month, we're going to need at least 50 people to fulfill the promises that we make at baptism to help the children in our community grow to know God's love. And these numbers that I mentioned, the 48 we'll need for greeting and the 50 we'll need for Sunday school, all of these are based on people serving in these roles once a month. It's not like 50 people have to batten down the hatches and never see the light of day again. You get a day, you get to enjoy, you get to meet, you get to greet, and then you have the rest of the month, and you still get to celebrate the day you're helping. One Sunday a month of smiling and saying good morning or handing out a bulletin. One Sunday a month listening to laughter and being in awe of how God is at work in the youngest among us. Is this something you could be a part of? When we pray each week that what we have and what we do and who we are might transform the world, could this be one of the ways that you do that? Now, I tell you, I'm not going to beg. And I will not use guilt. I mean, using those methods honestly just minimizes the gift of this moment. What we are experiencing here is a gift, and I don't want to burden it with begging and guilt. That's inappropriate. The moment God has led us to right now is too meaningful for that. So when I invite you to prayerfully ask where you can be a part of what God is doing here, it is not with guilt or obligation, but instead I am asking you with excitement and enthusiasm. What an incredible moment for what God is doing here. Now, when people ask me, and I'm honored and proud to get this question often, when people ask me, how is Highlands doing so well? It's a very simple answer. I tell them, we're just doing what Jesus did. And it's the honest truth. We have chosen to tell the world that God loves all people and that God wants every single one of us to make a difference in this world. I don't know about you, but I learned that from Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do here. And as it turns out, that message is resonating and being received by our community. And I don't think that everyone who needs to hear that message of God's love and your ability to make a difference in the world, I don't think that everyone who needs to hear that message has heard it yet. There are more people who need to hear that they are worthy of God's love. There are more people who need to be told that their questions and their skepticism don't make them less than faithful. There are more people who look at the state of the world and need to be reminded that it can, it should, and it will be better. And I believe God is asking us to be ready for them. When was the last time you thought about why you're here? I mean, you made it. Thank you. But when was the last time you really thought about why you're here? What need or longing are you responding to? What part of you is fulfilled or enriched or strengthened by being here? Think about it for a moment. Don't you suppose that someone else out there in this world has that same need or longing? Don't you think that others could grow on their journey the way we're trying to do here? I tell you, in a world that is increasingly tense, in a country that is increasingly polarized, and in a society that is far often lacking depth and connection and relationship, God is interrupting the exasperation and the disappointment to say that there is something more to be found in this world. There is something worth living. There is something worth sharing. There is something worth being a part of. Because God knows that love and acceptance and justice and hope, God knows that these things can be made real in how we live our lives and that we are worthy of such a world. We are worthy of a world of love, acceptance, justice, and hope. And this is what God is bringing forth. And God is doing so through you. God is doing so through us as a community. In the book of Joel, found in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the prophet Joel notes that God does things like this. God interrupts the world and brings these things when the world needs it. Now, the prophet Joel was writing to a people who were facing political and environmental uncertainty. Poor leadership had handled a drought even worse and led the entire people to famine. Things were falling apart. Chaos reigned, and the institutions that people used to trust and rely on were wholly incapable of responding. And so Joel spoke a word of the Lord to the people. The Lord says, after I will pour out my spirit upon everyone, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your elders will dream dreams. Your young will see visions. For in those days I will pour out my spirit on all people, even those who have been subjugated and marginalized. Sons and daughters? Elders, the young, those who had been enslaved and marginalized, these were very unexpected places. The people were looking for God to show up, and God's going to show up with these folks? One of my biblical resources I used to prepare for my sermon summarized it well this way. The interruption of God into a community will transform it. And God is interrupting the world here at Highlands United Methodist Church. The religious hierarchy is not the instrument of God's work in this moment. but the everyday people. Listen to what Joel is saying. Everyone expected the religious leadership would take care of things, and Joel says, oh, no, no, the people have this. The early Christians experienced this at Pentecost, right? Like all these ordinary, regular people, the Spirit's being poured out upon them and something's happening and folks are like, what's going on? So of all things, the disciples start quoting Joel. You'll notice the scripture shows up both as Joel and in Acts because they read the exact same scripture trying to describe what happens when God shows up. The powers that be, the institutions, the hierarchies, these are not the places that God's vision really takes hold. God's vision takes hold in God's people. It takes hold in you and in communities like this. And such energy, this transforming, world-changing possibility is magnetic and engaging, and it is a gift to be shared. And it needs people who are willing to carry it forward. It needs people who are willing to nurture it. It thrives when there are those who will offer it to others. And so I'm asking for your help. We have deep need for you here. With unwavering certainty, I can tell you that we cannot be what God desires us to be without you. You are gifted and talented. Who you are is essential to what makes this place what it is. The uniqueness of your opinions and perspectives is essential to the direction we will head as God's people as we figure out what it looks like to meet today's needs and grow into God's vision for us and the world. Helping in Sunday school, ushering, greeting, setting up communion, singing in the choir, loading the dishwasher. These are simple yet necessary components of a community that's ready to move forward as God's people. And please hear God's deeper invitation to transform the world and yourself in each one of these opportunities. We don't ask you to do these things just because they need to be done. We invite you to step into these opportunities because they will change who you are. There are folks for whom this place is a place of joy and meaning because they get to greet folks at the door, because they see people and have relationships and have a connection. Let alone the folks that walk in the door and experience that. I've said it before, I will say it again, some of the most transforming experiences, the brightest wisdom, the most amazing experiences of God do not happen in the sanctuary, they happen in our Sunday school rooms. And you get to be there. This is something God offers us, because what God is doing here needs you. And I'm boldly going to ask you for one more thing as well. Please pray for our congregation. Over the next month, we will be asking God to guide us into new ways of serving. We're going to be asking God to guide us into new ways of reaching out to our neighbors and bringing hope to the world. We are asking God to give us a vision that can transform and heal the heart of our hurting world. And I need you to pray. We all need you to pray. And please, in your prayers, don't just talk, but listen, and listen deeply. Listen for the dreams and the visions that God will stir in your heart, because you are where these dreams and visions will come from. For you are the sons and daughters, the beloved children, the elders, the young, the ordinary people, worthy of what God is doing. The people God has chosen to interrupt the world with. You are the recipients of a divine vision that will lead us all to something more in this world. And I cannot wait to hear what God has to tell you. Amen.